Welcome to another edition of Inside United. This is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Today we have a returning guest, George DeCampos. His job, his work and role and position here is that he is Senior Pastor of Portuguese-speaking areas in the United Church of God. Not only does he pastor churches, he also is the editor and translator of many of our Portuguese-speaking publications. And he has been a tireless worker who has had a great impact on people over time. So welcome to Inside United.
Thank you, Vic.
We have a special story to tell today. Angola is a place where we have probably more people who have a relationship with the United Church of God than any place else in the world. There are probably close to 5,000 people in the country of Angola who are Sabbath keepers, who keep the same observances that we do in the United Church of God. We've been doing various projects with them, and on this last visit in July of 2019, I was able to get a first-hand glimpse of what we do. But maybe a little bit of background. George can tell us how he got involved in Angola, and let's talk about what we are doing there now.
I've got involved in Angola because through our work that we do at United Church of God, God's Work, in Portuguese, we have got all the booklets that we have in English now we have in Portuguese. And we also have the version in Portuguese of the Beyond Today magazine, which we call it Boa Nova. And the brethren in Angola saw us through the website, and they contacted us. When they contacted us, they said, "We are absolutely ecstatic, so happy to hear that we are not the only ones in the world that are keeping God's holy days and God's commandments, as had been previously taught for many years in the Worldwide Church of God." And we've been faithful to these, thinking that we are the only ones in the world. And so we're very happy to see you and to get to know you, and we would like to work together. They also clearly said to us, they're not entering contact with us to ask for money or to any physical donations, even though we willingly identified areas that we can help and we do give to them. But what they're asking for from us is spiritual food. And so we have been teaching them, giving them various leadership training programs in our visits, and as well as they receive our Boa Nova, which is the version of Beyond Today, and our booklets. So that's basically how we got started with them.
Well, on this trip last July, it was very obvious that the relationship was very, very familial. It was just so much life in Angola, in a country which has gone through quite a bit of turmoil over the years. George, tell us about the size. I mentioned something about 5,000, but you can tell us a little bit more detail about how many of them, how many congregations.
They are, as you said, just over 5,000 throughout the various provinces in Angola. Provinces like a state in this country. And they've got congregations in those main cities, and even in smaller cities throughout those provinces. For instance, in Luanda, they've got about 20 congregations, and some of the congregations vary between 50 to 100 people attending. Also, in one of the congregations we visited in Luanda, in fact, more than one, but one specifically, they have a fairly large school, which is a community service school. And this is a project that we've got involved because what they do is they teach the children till about grade 8. They teach them the basics of education. They follow the official curriculum of the Department of Education, of their local Department of Education. And the students, when they finish that period, they then write an exam. And upon passing, they can then go to the higher grades from grade 9, 10, 12 through to university. So it's completely in sync with the teaching as laid out per government curriculum. And furthermore, say about 90+% of the students are young people from the community. The reason they do that, and it's very, very sponsored and very encouraged by the government, is that their government schools currently cannot accommodate all the children, and therefore there are many children in Angola that do not go to school. Therefore, the church's work is very well received by the government because they're filling in a gap which is very well needed in the country.
That's what I noticed when we got there. I wasn't even sure how they operated schools, but the first school we visited was part of the courtyard, was on the courtyard where the church building was and their main office, and then across the courtyard was the school. And they made a special point when we got there to give us a tour of the school, and I got the real feeling of what the school is. It isn't just a church school. It's part of the structure of teaching the community subjects like, you know, I saw they were teaching the Portuguese language, they were teaching subjects in grammar and mathematics, and dedicated headmaster and the teachers. You know, they were all just very, very enthusiastic. And the government is more than happy to have groups like ours be able to responsibly teach children.
That is correct. And as I mentioned, there are more than one school that they have. In Luanda, they got three. In Uhambo, they got another one as well. And there's specifically one school that we visited that they have a requirement to enlarge. Currently, they got 7 classrooms. They want to enlarge it to 14. But physically, they don't have the extra space. So they're going to build on top on the second floor 7 additional classrooms. And so it is a project that we are involved with, and we are very excited to be able to provide them a little bit of financial help to complete this additions to the school.
Well, let's talk about that, because it's an ambitious project. For starters, you know, to expand the schools by 7 classrooms by building a second floor, is it?
That is correct, the second floor.
To double the capacity, really, of that school to teach children, you know, in the community. I'll be very, very frank here. What we needed is $30,000, and already here, as of this date, which is September 17th, we have collected about $24,000, you know, just to let you know where we're at. And if you would like to help out with this project, just go to lifenets.org, and on the very home page there, you see a little picture of an Angolan boy, and you go to the link with it, and it takes you to the page about this project. So we've been very excited about this project because people have been very generous. They've been generous because they see the outcomes of this project. They see that children are being educated, children who would probably be very, very stunted in that early development. And we feel that as a church, we're able to be very directly involved in helping children, but also on the side, gain favor of the government to be able to practice our faith.
That is correct. And one additional positive area about it as well is that the bank account they hold, it's a bank account in euros. So the money that we send there is not being devalued by their local currency, because currently with this COVID situation, their currency is going down quite considerably. Understand that one of the major sources of income in Angola is basically oil, and the price of oil has really slumped lately, and so the economy is really down. And the other thing that has affected is the country has put in very strong lockdown conditions across the country, and this has affected the economy quite seriously. So a lot of the brethren are struggling, but they're doing okay, but they are struggling. But the good news about it is that because the money that we are sending is in an account in euros, that that money is not devaluing, and so they can pull it out as they need it for the work.
Yeah, I've been just very, very positively struck by how well managed their operation is, you know, with their national board and how they handle finances, and even how they've organized the churches. I think you mentioned there are churches all over the country. I believe there are even 15 congregations or so just in Luanda itself.
Yeah, there's a large number.
Yeah, a large number of congregations right in the city of Luanda. So you mentioned about COVID and the strict regulations that have been imposed on movements of people. How are they affected with COVID?
They've been affected in two ways. In addition to COVID, last year, what we've got to understand that Angola itself is still going through a lot of political turmoil. There is a ruling government which is not favored by the majority of the people, and therefore there are a lot of rumblings underground of discontent. There is a lot of demonstrations on the streets, like you see it in this country, of the same thing, of police action and things like that. It's unbelievable that it's a completely different country. It's in Africa. And it's the same sort of problems they encounter there. But anyway, about last year, the government put in a law saying that religious organizations could not continue unless they had a certain number of members. And we've been fighting this situation because basically there was a time in which even some of our congregations were locked down. The government came there and put bolts, and people couldn't go into congregation. This was before COVID. But anyway, this has been opened. They are now working with the government, and there is a favorable minister of education that is working with them. So God has opened doors in that way, but the matter is not resolved yet as far as that registration of the church in Angola. But now what COVID has done is basically in the whole country, everything was locked down. No churches could meet, nothing like that. But they're now opening up and churches can meet. But a new law, and I received the statute of the law decree myself, and I read it carefully. And basically it states that there will be no church religious meetings during the week from Monday till Friday. They will only be allowed church gatherings on Saturdays and Sundays. I thought, well, it's a blessing that they've got Sats on the Sabbath there as well. But nonetheless, they are prohibiting it in the other days of the week. So I asked them, how is this affecting the feast? Because the feast runs for a whole week. Obviously, this year, the feast starts on the Sabbath, Friday night, and it ends at sunset the following Sabbath. But during the days in the middle, which are not holy days, but they are during days in the middle, they will not be able to gather together in the various feast sites. Now, speaking about feast sites, I did warn them quite a few months ago, so they have been planning to have a number of feast sites by regional areas and by congregations. So that way avoids a lot of people traveling long distances, which is a blessing for them, and that I'm glad that God inspired that to be the case, to be preemptive. But what they're going to do is they then going to have services on the weekends, obviously the Sabbath, and on the second day of the feast, which happens to be a Sunday this year, and also on the eighth day of the feast will also be a following Sabbath. And during the days of the week, they will then keep in private little locations where they will meet. They will listen to sermons which I've mailed to them, and I've put them on a website, and sermons about the feast, and they themselves have been preparing for that. And in some areas, they're clearing up areas so they can meet over the weekend. And so that's what they're doing. Then I asked them, now, how are you going to do for the Day of Atonement? Because as you know, Day of Atonement is a Monday this year. And they said, well, what are we going to do is we're going to meet in private homes for the Day of Atonement, and we're going to meet starting after sunset. We're going to meet, say at 7 o'clock. Sunset day is usually about 6 p.m. So 7 o'clock in the evening, they're going to have prayers and read some scriptures. And in those houses where they're going to meet, and this is across the country, that's what they're going to do. And then 2 hours later, at 9 o'clock, they'll do again for an hour of prayers and reading of scriptures. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, they'll do the same thing. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, they'll do the same thing on the Day of Atonement. And it just shows to me, I felt so humbled, because it just shows to me the absolute commitment and desire to please God, and seriousness about the meaning of these holy days and how importantly and seriously they're taking it. So I was deeply moved with that.
Well, George, it's been very, very good talking to you today about the work in Angola to give us this update, an update of things that we actually are both working on. You know, we both have been very, very involved in this. And my wife, Bev, and I, my wife, Bev, runs LifeNets, the nonprofit here, has been instrumental in pushing things forward. And we hope to work not only on this project, but in other ways to help people in Angola and the other areas of Africa that we work with. So thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you. And I want to thank all the brethren and people and LifeNets for the kind support that you've done for the church in Angola and this project specifically of building the school, because that is such a blessing. And we thank you so much, because the brethren there are so excited and so motivated. And every time I talk to them, they say, please, please convey our deepest gratitude to all the brethren for their prayers and their support they have towards us here in Angola.
Well, thank you so much. Well, thank you for joining us on Inside United today. Please tell your friends about this podcast. We produce a podcast every week and usually release it on Thursday afternoon. Find us on the ucg.org website. Go to the main menu bar and click or tap on the podcast button. Or use your favorite Android or Apple podcasting app, such as Pocket Casts that I use for Android. You can write to us at podcast@ucg.org, podcast@ucg.org, and you can comment about the podcasts, and you can even tell us about what you feel about what George DeCampos told us today. You can also find us on Spotify. So thank you for joining us. Come back again soon for more on Inside United.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.